said we'll be okay with 7 and 5. So is 7 the demand?
I guess you got to call 7 the demand. I really want to call 8 the demand.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Like I said, if you're good, you get at least 8. 7 will buy you another year of getting your guys in there and all that stuff.
If we win fewer than 6, I'll never watch another game. I will never watch another game. I'll never watch another game in my life if we win fewer than 6.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
If we win fewer than 7, I'll never watch another Pruitt game. If we go 6-6, I'm not watching another game until we get a new coach.
A man has to have a code, and I respect it. The 6th one seems a little aggressive.
If we win 4 or fewer, I will end my life. If we win fewer than 4, I'll take everyone with me as well. So everyone in this room and me.
On 1340 WKGN.
So hopefully we don't win 3. You guys better hope we do better than 3-9. Or we're all in trouble then.
Hour 2 kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. I just put up a contest on Twitter. We're giving away another big Truly cooler. If you've tweeted me pictures of you enjoying Truly, tag me. Respond to that thread. Make sure Cherokee is tagged in it. And we're giving away a cooler at the end of the week. So you've been drinking Truly. I've been getting a lot of DMs of people drinking Truly, a lot of pictures on Twitter of people drinking Truly. I want to make sure you're in the chance to win a cooler. So respond to my tweet. It's pinned on my profile, JON2_Reed, and get entered for a chance to win a big, nice Truly cooler. I got some Truly back here in the back. I brought some Truly in for voluntary reaction. I wonder how long it'll be before someone mysteriously drinks all of them again.
Probably not long.
Yeah, probably already gone.
Somebody will hammer those out.
Yeah.
I love seeing the pictures of the guys on the beach.
I know.
With the Truly.
Truly's a perfect beach drink. Yeah. Man, I could have saved so much trouble for myself back in the day if, like, whenever I was in college and would go to the pool or I'd go to the beach, because I don't drink beer, as you know.
Yeah.
I would just drink liquor. And that liquor with that hot sun would always lead to me having rough pool days. Rough beach days.
Especially that brown liquor.
Yeah.
It's all right if you can make like a vodka concoction.
Yeah, but I didn't drink vodka before then. I wish I had some volunteer vodka maybe back in the day, because, yeah, it was just 100 proof SoCo and Jim Beam. That was usually Jim. Mixed. Usually just drinking both of them at the same time. It led to some bad lounging water days.
Bourbon in the heat. That's rough.
Luckily,
that's...
I would sometimes have a float I could prop my neck on. That way, at least I wouldn't drown in the pool. So that was clutch.
It's helpful.
Wish I would have had the refreshing 100-calorie Truly. All right, hour 2 headlines. Cody McClark, Collision Course right now.
All right.
Now!
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
The New Orleans Saints.
They're good.
They defeated the Jags yesterday, and turns out they had a blessing from the Catholic Church, and that was what led to the win. Pope Francis tweeted out before the game, "Today we give thanks to the Lord for our new hashtag Saints." Then it has the Saints symbol. What is that symbol?
Is it a floor? Is that what it's called?
I don't know what you call that thing.
It's the flower. It's like, is it the De Floris? Like, De Floris. Hold on.
Careful with Googling that. Yeah. Anyway, the Pope says they walked by.
No, I was kind of close, but I got it backwards. The Fleur de Lis.
Fleur de Lis. Well, the Pope tweeted that out. He said they walked by faith, and now we invoke their intercession. So, Pope Francis blessing the New Orleans Saints before their game with the Jags. Led to a win. Apparently, the Pope made an error when he did hashtag Saints.
Yeah.
He was talking about real Saints.
Yeah. But I mean, it helped.
But it ended up being the NFL team. It got a lot of interaction on Twitter. It was funny because the Pope tweeted about an NFL team. You know, when does that happen? Alrighty. The Celtics converted 7'6" rookie Taco Fall to a two-way contract, league sources told ESPN yesterday. Taco will spend most of his season developing with the G League affiliate, Maine, but he can spend up to 45 days with the Celtics in the NBA.
Yeah, that'll be cool. He'll get to play some games. He'll get in some mop-up duty. He'll become the the human victory cigar for Celtics fans. If he's on the roster and the team's winning in the fourth quarter, they will definitely chant they want Taco. He'll get to play some. Shout out to him. Because it sometimes looks painful, like the combine. It looked really painful when they tried to make him do some of the tests. Like he did like the standing vert and like fell down. It was kind of sad, but there's a place for him. Come protect the rim. Sell jerseys. You'll see a lot of Taco Fall jerseys. Still, the Celtics can go to hell, though.
Of course.
No offense to Grant Williams. Like, I want Grant to play well.
You just want his team to be awful?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't that make him upset?
Probably.
But disappointed and sad?
That's fine. I really appreciate what Grant Williams did for me in college basketball for the Vols. I hope he makes a lot of money in the NBA.
But you don't want him to win a championship.
But I don't want him to win a championship in Boston. Like maybe
it's very selfish.
7 or 8 years from now, if he goes to a different team, if they trade him in a couple years. But the Philadelphia 76ers are the official team of the Vols, by the way.
Huh. Well, I don't think you have to worry about a team that Grant Williams is on winning a championship. So today is Columbus Day, or for some, it's Indigenous Peoples Day.
Man, I forgot you've had this beef with Grant for a while. I forgot you always used to bash him.
What do you mean? I'm not bashing him. I'm just saying that the Celtics are probably not going to win a title. I mean, they've fallen off a bit, you know. That wasn't a shot at Grant Williams. Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. Which do you celebrate?
Neither. I forgot to tell you when you asked how my day was. So I went. This Columbus Day / Indigenous People, whatever. It's just another excuse for everyone not to work, apparently, because I left the house, I was going to go eat a sandwich, I was going to go eat my lunch, I get there, I don't have my wallet. I was like, oh, God, no.
Oh.
Don't have my wallet.
Had to go to the bank.
I was like, hey, my bank's right across the street, I'll go across the street.
Not today.
Go to the bank. I get there, it's closed, I'm like, oh, damn it, why are we closed today? Yeah. So then I'm like, do I just go to Chick-fil-A right next door? I got my card saved in my app. I said, I don't really want chicken. So then I had to just open my glove compartment, dig through all my change. I had to pour my change out in my front seat and count out $10 worth of quarters and dimes.
Did you really do that?
Yeah. To go across the street and get the sandwich I wanted.
Oh, my God. How did you have that much change?
I got a change jar.
So you paid with $10?
Quarters. And only
quarters and
most
dimes?
Most of them were quarters. I had $1 of dimes. But everything else was quarters.
Who has that many quarters?
I used to. I have like a big mason jar with quarter, like change in it. You know, like whenever I go through the drive-thru, I save my change. Or I just, you know, I've been saving this change for a while. I was like, eventually I'll cash it in. Not now. Cash it in for a sandwich. All because these damn bank people don't want to work. Who? Is there a profession that works less than the bank people?
Hey, this is government. An important holiday. It's an important holiday. It was on this day in 1776 that Columbus got on a U.S. Navy ship and sailed across to America, where he found India and named it America. And then he had a nice, warm dinner with the Native American people.
Long day.
Chicken, turkey and dressing, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes and gravy, cranberry sauce. He had a great dinner.
It was a long
day. With the Native Americans. And then the Native Americans politely allowed Columbus to bring more people over and plant American flags and take the land. And they said, here, have this land. We'd love to share it with you. And it was peaceful. It was peaceful. Nothing bad happened.
You forgot that.
And Christopher Columbus was draped in a red, white, and blue flag.
You forgot that they helped us learn how to like plant crops and stuff. And we showed them, here's how to shoot guns. You can't have these guns, but here's how you shoot them.
We became dear friends.
Did we teach them anything? I know like in history they would tell us that they taught us how to plant crops and stuff.
We teach them what smallpox was.
Yeah.
Well, we don't talk about that.
Well, come on.
We taught them how to shoot turkeys, and that's why the turkey became the Thanksgiving bird, and everybody was happy. And Christopher Columbus was a great patriot and an American by heart. He was an American before Americans really knew what
you're
we
right.
were.
You're right. I shouldn't be mad. Counting out $10 worth of quarters is not that big of an inconvenience when you consider that I also get Thanksgiving meal because of this. So it's a fair trade-off. Count out. My hands still smell like change, even though I've washed them twice. My hands still smell like quarters. So
it's not as bad as pennies, though.
I had a bunch of pennies in there, so I had to put the pennies back in there, so I had to handle a bunch of pennies, too.
The pennies stink. It's a copper, I guess.
That's an inconvenience I can handle for the joy of Thanksgiving and celebrating our independence as America.
Yeah.
Any other headlines?
I expect everyone to shoot off fireworks tonight in honor of the great patriot, Christopher Columbus. Let's see what else we got. You want some more Pruitt quotes?
It's whatever.
He said we might onside kick every time against Alabama. He referenced that Arkansas high school coach I've told you about, Kevin Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that coach does an onside kick for every kickoff, and he never punts. If we could do that and never give Alabama the ball this week, that would be a great game plan. Well, are you going to do it, Pruitt? Are you going to be about it, or are you just going to talk about it? You're just going to joke around with the media? Because I'd like to see it happen.
He won't do it.
No, he won't do it.
He should.
There's really no reason not to. All right, I got one more for you. NFL teams are 90-1 since 1991 when they do the following things.
Okay.
All right, 90-1. 90 wins, a mere one loss.
Okay.
Since 91, so your entire lifetime almost.
Almost.
When they win time of possession, total yards, turnovers, pick up 25 first downs, and convert at least 10 or more third down attempts. So they do pretty much everything perfectly, right? One loss. That loss was yesterday when the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Jets.
Yeah, there were a lot of historic performances yesterday. We'll talk about a couple more of them next as we dive into the NFL weekend. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. All right, let's run through the NFL slate because we said we had some historic losses and historic performances. You gave one, the Dallas Cowboys. Man, what a brutal performance that was for them. Shout out to Sam Darnold, though. Shout out to Sam Darnold. He came back, and all of a sudden the Jets offense looked like it had some life. All of a sudden they could move the ball. They get their first win of the season. Man, that's going to be a brutal loss for the Cowboys, who now fall to 3-3. That's one of the big takeaways, is that they really squandered an opportunity. Now, this Week 7 game coming up next Sunday night, Eagles at Cowboys, that will be an obvious pivotal game in the NFC East. It's a borderline must-win for the Cowboys. It's a borderline must-win. After the Eagles, they go into their bye week, and then their remaining schedule isn't very forgiving for Dallas. I do think there is a high potential that they look back at the end of the year and say, man, us losing to the Jets cost us the division and cost us the playoffs. Philadelphia on Sunday night at home, bye week. Then their schedule goes at Giants, short week, play Minnesota, at Detroit, at New England, Buffalo, at Chicago, Rams, at Eagles, Washington. That's a pretty brutal schedule. They would have felt a whole lot better if they were 4-2 with a chance to go 5-2 after the Eagles rather than 3-3 with, like I said, facing kind of a must-win on Sunday against the Eagles. That'll be a fun game, though. The Jets able to pull off a win in the Cowboys gag. And now it looks like things are bad in Dallas. You have another week of Jerry Jones getting asked, hey, are you going to fire Jason Garrett? Clips going viral of Jason Garrett trying to be a rah-rah coach. You guys see this, where he's coming out trying to keep his team hype and give them high fives and help boost morale, and team just kind of walks by him, doesn't pay attention, just ignores him, pays him no mind. That is not a good sign of a team that all of a sudden is 3-3, kind of in a similar situation as the Rams, who are also 3-0, and both looking like they were the class of the NFC. They have both since gone 0-6 yesterday, the 49ers, hey, man, like if you weren't believing in them after what they did on Monday night to the Browns, they come back, short week, go to L.A., Rams had a couple extra days of rest, and the 49ers defense completely shuts down Sean McVay's offense. The Rams, 0 for 9 on third down, 0 for 4 on fourth down. The first time San Francisco held a team without a third or fourth down conversion since 1988. That was a dominant performance by the 49ers, who, you know, the Rams lost two in a row, were needing that one. Now they find themselves, you know, 2.5 games back in the division, and they look like the clear third best team in that division. They look closer to Arizona than they do with the 49ers and the Seahawks.
Yeah, that was a really bad day for the Rams. They didn't have Gurley. You know, he helps their offense, obviously. But,
yeah.
But I mean, Jared Goff, just horrible. Just horrible yesterday. Brandon Cooks does nothing anymore. Even Zerline didn't even get to kick any field goals. It was a bad day for the Rams. Bad day for Sean McVay. Who's Sean McVay? Remember how special that guy was? How his offenses were just next generation?
Like I said, if I was a team that hired one of his disciples just because they knew Sean McVay, I'd be a little bit nervous right now, because it seems like the league is kind of figuring out that Rams offense. And like you said, Todd Gurley didn't play, but Cody, the bad news is, like, even when Todd Gurley plays, he ain't Todd Gurley of the first half of last year, right?
No,
like,
he hasn't been as good.
He's not that same running back, and I don't think there's any coincidence that the offense doesn't look as good anymore. They need Todd Gurley to be the best player in the NFL, which he kind of was prior to getting injured, or I guess whatever happened where he fell off the cliff. First half of last year, he was, you know, in the MVP conversation. People thought, hey, that's the best overall player. Not only can he run the ball, he can also catch out of the backfield. Turns out you can't just take a running back by committee and put them in and expect not to fall off. Turns out some guys are important, and healthy Todd Gurley was one of those guys.
The Rams had all that extra rest, too.
Didn't help.
And, you know, San Francisco coming off a short week for them. So,
but the 49ers fans came, and they took over the Coliseum. That was a lot. There was a lot of people. A lot of 49ers fans in the crowd. It was a neutral site game, and they dominate. The 49ers defense, man, like we talk all about Kyle Shanahan, right? We talk all about Kyle Shanahan and his offense. And don't get me wrong, yesterday you saw George Kittle flexing his muscles. They couldn't guard him when they had to. The running back's able to kind of churn off 5-6 yards of carry. Garoppolo played okay, threw an interception on the goal line, which, you know, kind of kept that game from being an absolute blowout. But the 49ers defense, man, last two games, 8 sacks. They've held the other quarterback to 22 of 47, 178 yards total, 3.8 yards per attempt, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. That is elite defense. 49ers, really damn good. Really good. Dominant.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I don't know how good, though.
They just dominated your Rams. Destroyed them.
I'll have them in my MySpace top 8.
I'm going to have them still at number 2. Nope. I'm not going to put them ahead of the Patriots, although if they played right now, especially in San Francisco, in a regular season game, of course, not a playoff game, I think the 49ers would be favored, and I think they would probably win that game.
If they played?
Where? In San Francisco, regular season. I'm not saying they'd go into Foxborough and win, but, like, man, that offense is going to just move people around.
Jimmy G going to beat Belichick?
They did this yesterday without their two starting tackles. Like, they did this with, like, their offensive line a little banged up. Like, this was a big-time performance by them.
I still don't know if I'm buying them.
Okay, and, like, we'll see.
I'll put them close to my top 5. But, I mean, like, let's say it's playoff time. I mean, how many teams are you taking the 49ers on?
Well, that's, you know, like that's why I specified when I'm talking the Patriots. I specified, like, it would have to be a regular season game for me to feel confident they were going to beat New England.
Well,
but,
I mean,
like Kyle Shanahan's a pretty damn good coach, and this defense has a lot of first-round picks. Like, the defensive line has a lot of top 5 picks on it, and, you know, Richard Sherman was left for dead whenever Seattle got rid of him, but he's been really good in San Francisco, and he's kind of got their secondary playing really good football.
Let's say they're in the NFC Championship. Would you take them over the Saints?
Yeah. Yeah.
Take them over the Packers.
In Green Bay or in San Francisco?
I don't know. So it's in Dallas.
To me, that would matter. I mean, if it's in Dallas,
it's
Dallas. And I would just be confused.
For
say,
some reason, it's
I would say,
in
what's
Dallas.
Happened? Has there been an earthquake in San Francisco? Like, is the
yes.
fault line? Are
yes.
we in trouble?
Yes,
like,
the Bay Bridge collapsed.
This
again.
Is bad news. Like, we should not be playing football. Let's just delay it. Come
this
on.
This time, it was the Golden Gate Bridge that collapsed.
If that's the case, would you look at it like, hey, they've been uprooted because of a tragedy? Or is it like, hey, are they playing for their city? Because sometimes you can play for your city and really, you know, do something special. Think Saints in 2006 when they went to the the Super Bowl.
LSU tried that in 05, and you saw what happened when Tennessee came to town.
Big Arian Foster.
That's a weird reference for
no,
me.
No, was that Arian Foster or was that Riggs?
No, that was Riggs.
Riggs
Gerald Riggs.
Riggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just I don't know, man. I want to buy the 49ers, but I still – they beat down the Rams. I mean, they hammered the Rams. I just I still like Kansas City better. I know,
man.
Kansas City lost again yesterday.
We're talking about bad losses, historic losses. Did you see what happened in that game? Or were you driving? Like, did you see the stats coming out of this game?
I didn't see a lot of that game.
I mean, the Texans in Kansas City had the ball. And, like, this is a game where the Chiefs jumped out to a 17-3 lead mm-hmm. in the first quarter. The Texans controlled the ball for 39 minutes and 48 seconds.
That's how you keep Mahomes off the field.
That is two-thirds of the game they had the ball.
That's a lot.
The Chiefs don't have a defense that can get off the field. In Cody, the fourth quarter, you think that game stat's bad. In the fourth quarter, a.k.a. money time, and this was a situation where the Chiefs were either nursing a one-score lead or down. You know how much? Do you know how long the Chiefs had the ball in the fourth quarter?
How many minutes of the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I don't know, 3 minutes.
1 minute and 25 seconds.
Holy hell.
Their defense can't get a stop. They had the ball for 1 minute and 25 seconds.
Yeah. I remember before the season, I was worried about their defense. What if the Raiders win that division?
I mean,
that'd be cool.
They look kind of they look more complete. Like their defense looks like it has a pulse. And, like, in Kansas City right now, I'm not sure their defense has a pulse. Like, they've been trying to trade for Jalen Ramsey. Maybe trade for, like, a linebacker, like any linebacker. Get you somebody who can stop a run. Get you a defensive lineman who can just take up space. Like, the Chiefs have to do something before the trade deadline if they want to be taken as legitimate, because right now, you say you take the Chiefs over the 49ers. Okay, maybe. But, like, I'm not taking the Chiefs number two in the AFC anymore.
Really?
I feel better about the Texans. The Texans just went to Kansas City and smacked them around.
I mean, the Texans won yesterday. That is two straight home losses for Kansas City, too.
To, like, not, like, explosive teams. I mean, well, the Texans are explosive, but the Chiefs lost to the Colts
last
week.
Well, they didn't play bad defense against the Colts, but they were going against Jacoby Brissett.
Well, they didn't play bad defense in the sense of the final score, but it was the same thing of, like, hey, we can't stop Marlon Mack from running.
They did. Yeah, they did get gashed. That's right, they did.
Like, this final score wasn't bad, but, like, you couldn't get off the field. And that one, you couldn't score, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm worried about Kansas City. As someone who has been a big Chiefs supporter over the last year and a half, or at least, you know, talking about how good they are and how I think they're this and that, like, I'm kind of off that wagon for now.
There may never have been a more obvious year than it's the Patriots. You know what I mean?
In the AFC, at least, although, like I said, man, like, the Texans did a good job again yesterday on the offensive line. Now, their first-round pick got hurt. I didn't see his status. If he's out for a significant amount of time, that's going to be bad for them. But, like, they were able to block. Now, again, blocking the Chiefs, who don't have a pulse on the defensive line, but able to control the ground and keep Watson up healthy. And Watson went in, and he outplayed Mahomes. And, like, you don't really have any questions about the Texans skill players, right, with Hopkins and Fuller, and, you know, Kenny Stills is the third guy, and, like,
yeah, they got some good receivers.
Carlos Hyde's running like he's back at Ohio State. Carlos Hyde looks good.
I do have an update on the right tackle.
Okay.
He will miss several weeks with an MCL injury.
Well, that sucks for them because their offensive line was already not good. So if he's out a significant amount of time, the Texans might come back down to earth a little bit. Because he got hurt. Was it in the fourth quarter he got hurt, maybe? Maybe the third quarter? It was the second half, I believe. Yeah, that's not good for them. But they were able to still put the game on ice without him, but they didn't have to pass as much on that last drive.
I don't know who the next best team is right now. Like, the Patriots are obviously – I think they're number one right now, but I don't know. I think I'd still take Seattle over the 49ers.
and I keep saying it, and like at this point, I don't want to sound like a hater, but even with the Patriots, like, I want to see them prove something against somebody that's any good. Like,
they haven't played anybody.
So I'm not going to say like they're the favorite, yes, but I'm not going to say it's like them versus everybody and they're the clear-cut winners because we haven't seen them play.
Yeah, the Vikings kind of coming back around.
That was a great performance from Kirk Cousins yesterday. We'll keep talking about the NFL next. Ride with us. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
He informed the team first before he, you know, jumped to telling the media.
To me, that makes it sound like it is Ryan Tannehill, that he is going to tell the team we're going in a different direction. Man, it has, it has been a really sad year for Marcus Mariota. Yesterday was pitiful, man. Yesterday was the culmination of it being just a just seeing how much of a failure it has become and just how far away he is from being competent. Yesterday was rough for Marcus Mariota. That was by far – well, sadly, I can't even say this, actually, now that I think about it. It was a really terrible game. I was going to say it's by far his worst game as a starter, but he's had some stinkers. I want to say he's had 10 career games where he's thrown for, like, under 110 yards. So, like, he's just – this is kind of just who he is.
I counted for 0 points yesterday. That was the fewest of all NFL teams.
Titans have scored 7 points their last 10 quarters.
Oh.
They got shut out in a half by the Falcons.
They can't even kick field goals.
No, they missed many of those last week. They've scored 7 points the last 10 quarters of football. If that doesn't scream quarterback change, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
Tannehill's not going to be great. Like, don't get me wrong. Tannehill's not going to be great. But when he came in, he at least made some competent throws. You saw the chain start moving. It's a lot like Brian Maurer and Garantano. Like, the playbook all of a sudden just looks a little bit better when the crisp passes are getting thrown in stride and in rhythm. Tannehill came in 7 of 16, 144 yards a pick at the end of the game. Not great, but when you hold it up against 7 of 18 for 63 yards and 2 interceptions, it looks awesome. Like, the Titans, talk about historic losses. The Titans, the defense has not allowed a team to score more than 20 points this year.
Yeah, I was listening to the radio broadcast yesterday in Nashville, and they were talking about how good the Titans' defense is. Like, another great day from the defense. They are elite, but there's just no answers on the other side of the ball.
They have not given up more than 20 points all year, and they're 2-4.
Right.
Do you know how hard that is in the NFL these days? To lose 4 games where you can't score at least 20 points, do you know how bad that is?
It means you don't have an offense.
It means you don't have an offense, and, like, it's brutal because, like, bro, like, this has been obvious to anybody. Like, you should have made a move at the end of last year to start going in a different direction with the quarterback, and you kind of did when you traded for Tannehill, but, like, why did you trade for Tannehill if you're going to wait till late in the third quarter while you're staring down 2-4 as your quarterback is 6 of 18?
Yeah.
5 of 18, whatever the hell he was. Like, it was clear in the first quarter this guy was not going to have it, and you let a great defensive performance get wasted. You didn't put Tannehill in until it was already 13-0. Like, if you make that move at halftime, you had a chance to win this game. Mike Vrabel sucks. When he says he's not a good coach, he's not lying. He sucks.
I mean,
he's bad.
Well, can Tannehill be?
He makes me angry.
It's gonna be all right.
He's a loser.
Can Tannehill be a long term answer, or do they need to look to draft?
I think even if Tannehill shows that he can play, and Tannehill shows that he can maybe be the starter next year, you still have to look to the draft. Like, you still have to use your first round pick this year on a quarterback. Like, Tannehill, when you say long term answer, no. When you tell me that Tannehill can take this roster that's built to win now and quarterback it for the rest of this year and next year, yes.
Well, the thing is, though, wouldn't you need to be bad to have a
– No, you can get Joe Burrow in the middle of the first round.
Yeah.
You can get – this is a bad week to say you want Jake Fromm after what he did against South Carolina, but you can get someone like that and groom them for a year.
And I lost that this or that last week. Did you see Burrow on Saturday? You saw him live. You saw him in person. You were right there.
I would much rather have Joe Burrow. You just can't argue, bro. You had the right point. You had the right choice.
Many people say I beat you every week, and I get screwed.
Cody's fanboys.
There's a few.
We love the party, too. We love Cody.
There's a few that say
we
I
love
get
the party.
There's a reasonable.
Cody cracks me up.
I'm telling you, a reasonable amount of people say I get screwed. It's not just like two people.
Brandon, Rick.
No, it's not
Bear, Brandon, Rick.
No, it's a reasonable amount of people. It's at least 8 people. It's a few.
I mean, look like, I mean, Joe Burrow is a guy, and like, I think you can take a quarterback and set him for a year if you have to. Like, I think you can do that. And if you are an organization, you can point and say, look at what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. Like, they put that guy on the bench for a year. Things were okay. We won a bunch of games. We made the playoffs. We won the division. We lost in the playoffs. We said, you know what? Let's go to our young quarterback. And he's ready to play. You can do that if you're the Titans. Like, if Tannehill shows that he is okay, you can take him, re-sign him to a 2-year contract, and say, this is going to be your team. Go out and win. And then if it doesn't work out, you go to the young guy. If it does work out, you just keep the young guy and let him develop. That's okay. Two of the best 5 quarterbacks we've seen in the last decade did that. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years behind Brett Favre. Patrick Mahomes set for, 16 games. He got in the 16th game of his rookie year, whatever, but then went back to the bench for the playoff game. Like, he did that for a year. It's okay. So, yes, Tannehill could be the answer for the rest of this year and even next year, because this roster is built to win now. The roster's good. The defense is elite.
I guess it just depends on, at what level can you win.
We just want to make the playoffs, bro. Like, we're not talking Super Bowl, but like, we're not going to be bad enough like this year where we can get in the top 5. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, the rest of the league sucks. Like, there's a very competitive race to the bottom between the Dolphins, the Redskins, the Falcons. Sorry, Cam. The Jets. I mean, there's 4 or 5 teams that are
going
to max out at 2
awful,
or 3 wins. Like,
some
I mean,
awful teams. I'm just looking at the quarterback, Walter Football's quarterbacks right now.
I mean, I'm sure they're like, what? I mean, like, there's Herbert, there's Tua, there's Fromm, there's Burrow. Who else is there that I'm missing?
Jacob Eason.
I don't want Jacob Eason. Like, I don't want Jacob Eason.
Kellen Mond.
Don't want Kellen Mond.
How about
Jordan Love?
Jordan Love, where's he from?
Utah State guy.
Utah State?
They like, apparently scouts like him.
Okay, and they also like that guy from UAB, right?
I think so, if I remember correctly.
Do
Before
they like
the year,
him?
They're talking about how good he was. I don't know about as an NFL prospect.
Do they like him or do they love him?
They kind of love Jordan Love. I don't know about the UAB guy. I haven't heard much recently.
Steven Montez. You know who he plays for?
Steven Montez. That name sounds familiar.
It should. He plays for a very familiar school. I'll give you a hint. They're in the Power 5.
I don't want to play this game.
They got beat down recently.
Just tell me who.
They're in the Pac-12.
Oh, Washington State?
They have a live buffalo that runs on the field before the game.
Okay, so Utah.
USC.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Steven Montez. KJ Costello, he's number 7.
I don't want any part of that guy. So, like, I don't want any of those guys. I think if you take one of those guys in the 3rd or 4th round, you're wasting a pick. But first-round pick, from 10 to 20, take a quarterback. Let him sit for a year.
Yeah, these are Walter's rankings. You could probably get Joe Burrow.
That's where he was mocked the last, the last couple mock drafts.
I don't know, though.
Him or Fromm. Like, either one of those guys, I'm okay with either one of those guys. Let him sit, and Tannehill can be that guy. Or Philip Rivers, who might be moving on from the Chargers next year. I mean, they stink. Maybe you get rid of Philip Rivers and go in a different direction. Andy Dalton, probably going to be out of Cincinnati. I forgot about them when we were talking about the teams competing for the number one spot. I think I forgot them. But there's going to be some veteran quarterbacks. Cam Newton. Maybe Cam Newton's done. His days in Carolina are done. Like, any of those veteran quarterbacks, I'm okay with starting them for the next couple of years and trying to develop a young guy. I don't think you're going to find someone who's going to be ready to go year one to win games, and I don't want to gut this roster just now, although, like, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. This weekend's game, Chargers-Titans, is going to be just so stupid. It's going to be one of the dumbest football games you'll ever see. Just two teams who look completely lost. The Chargers can't block. The Titans can't block. Although it did look like they could block a little bit better when Tannehill was in there because he was getting the ball out quick. But it's just stupid. It's just stupid football. Mike Vrabel's dumb. Marcus Mariota's done. Send him back to Hawaii. Let's get him out of the league. He's cooked. We wasted so much time arguing between Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Which, by the way, I was team Jameis. I feel like I'm taking the victory here. It's not a resounding victory. It's a decision. It's probably a split decision. But Jameis is at least better than Mariota. They both stink, don't get me wrong, but Jameis was at least better. I will take the victory. Thank you very much. A lot of people doubted me.
I'd say wait to claim that till next week when he doesn't have 7 turnovers.
It doesn't matter. He didn't get benched. He didn't get benched.
This year.
Like I said, they both stink. They both stink. I just feel like Winston's got more of a pulse and will survive in the NFL a little bit longer than Mariota. Although, I don't know, maybe Mariota will be the stereotypical backup quarterback who hangs around and gets to collect a check because he's nice.
He does seem pleasant.
He seems like a lovely guy. You probably want him on your sideline.
He's won a Heisman.
He said the right thing. He said, hey, I told Tannehill to just make quick decisions and see the field. And they said, have you been doing that? He said, no, I can't say I have. Like, he owned it. He's like, I just haven't been very good.
Yet he's going to give advice to Tannehill?
Some people can't do. They can only coach, man. I'm okay with that. If he can go out there and just be a guy who's helping him see the field and be a good teammate.
Just go get Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's the answer.
What a stupid team. God, the Titans make me sick. Defense is elite.
They are. It is sick.
Defense is really good. Our wide receivers are good, man. When you finally saw A.J. Brown get the ball in his hands yesterday, he's throwing like Broncos all over the field and like running 20 yards after the catch, like just throwing people around. Cam saw it front and center when he did that to the Falcons. Like, that guy can score when he gets the ball in his hands. For some reason, we don't throw the ball to the receivers. I don't understand why we don't give the ball to the receivers. We spent a first-round pick on Corey Davis, top 5 pick. We spent a second-round pick on A.J. Brown. We got talent, and we just like, hey, we're going to try to dump the ball down to Deion Lewis.
Just don't have the quarterback, and maybe not the coach.
Yeah, I mean, we hired a tight end coach to be our offensive coordinator. History is going to tell me that doesn't end well.
That Steve Ensminger guy is doing good at LSU.
Okay.
He was a tight ends coach.
All right. Well, yeah,
I was thinking more of like
Larry Scott and Arthur Smith, who is basically just on staff and coaching football because his dad's rich from FedEx. Like, we gave a nepotism award and let this guy be the offensive coordinator, and our offensive coordinator sucks.
He's just rich at FedEx, and that's how he got into coaching?
His dad's rich, yeah. So I guess he just had time to go to work all these unpaid internships and to get into coaching football.
Was that the guy that had the connection to Coastal Carolina?
That was another rich guy who just wanted to coach. Yeah, yeah. He was rich from something else.
Huh. Yeah, if you got money, you can be anything.
Yeah.
I'd try coaching if I had a lot of money.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'll be a grad volunteer or whatever. Like, I'll be an unpaid intern and work my way up. Because I buy everybody dinner when we go out. Like, I'll put it on the FedEx card. Don't worry about it. It's so sickening. We're in a league where everyone scores. And my team can't score.
Have you ever seen the FedEx planes at the Memphis airport?
No.
That's a huge operation.
Is it?
That, like, the FedEx, they have, like, their own airport, basically. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how many of those planes come in and out of there. There's just dozens of them all the time. Loading and unloading and just coming back and boom, going away.
I'm done keeping up with this stupid team. I'll check back in a couple weeks to see if they win. Like, for a while, even yesterday, when the Titans are playing, I watch the Titans. I DVR the red zone. I catch up during breaks and halftime and after the game. No more. I'm going full red zone, and I'll see my only Titans plays from that, which won't be many offensively because they don't get to the red zone. I see a lot of the defensive plays. Actually, they don't give up a lot of red zone trips either, so I just won't see very many Titans updates. I'll just see whenever Hanson puts it up on the scoreboard, like, here's where they're at on the field.
Here's the Titans in the red zone.
Titans are 3rd and 13 again. Oh, shocking.
Marcus Mariota sacked for a 9-yard
loss.
No,
he's going to the bench, man. It's going to be Tannehill. We're going to beat the Chargers, and then we'll be like, here goes Tannehill. Tannehill will be good enough to get us to 8-8. Miss the playoffs. We'll talk about the rest of the NFL.
I would say I feel bad for you, but after the trash you talked to me last week with the Dodgers, I think it's kind of telling that the Titans scored 0 points on Sunday. It's just karma, man.
Well, the good news about the Titans is their season's still going.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They are not sitting on the couch.
I wouldn't want to watch anymore, though.
Do you take solace in the fact that the Nationals are just blowing through the Cardinals, or do you like, hey, that would have been us? Or you're like, hey, like, the Cardinals kind of stink. That could have been us.
Should have been us, yeah. Yeah, I think I feel more like that. Yankees and Astros, good series.
Braves got to feel awful too, right? The Braves got to be like, man, these Cardinals stink. Like, look at what the Nationals are doing to them. We should have done that.
One bad inning.
Just overmanaging. Yeah. Overmanaging. You didn't throw your best pitcher. You couldn't put it away with timely hitting. And, you know, bullpen stinks. It's just the Cardinals don't look like they belong on that stage. It looks like the Nationals are going to make the World Series, and Bryce Harper has to be sick.
I think I'm taking whoever's in the AL.
Yeah, I agree.
Whoever comes out of there, that's your champion.
Although the Nationals got some good pitching, but
that Anibal Sanchez guy, he almost had a no-hitter going the other night. I guess he gave up one in the eighth,
One out in the eighth, I believe, or two outs in the eighth, something like that.
Yeah. Then Strasburg or Scherzer.
Yeah, yesterday was fun for the Yankees Astros. That was a fun game.
Yeah, I watched some
little walk-off. Little walk-off action. Was it the 12th inning? A little walk-off action?
I was watching at Clyde's in Nashville. It's a good bar.
Okay.
You ever been there?
Where's it at?
Hi-Fi Clyde's. It's off Church Street. Get away from the downtown crowd a little bit.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a good spot.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever been there.
You got a lot of rock and roll stuff in there. Like old old movies.
The rock and roll culture is not really for me.
You like old movies, don't you?
I do like
Just have a lot of really cool things
like
in there.
Like what type of old movies? Actually, I don't even really like
all kinds of old movies, like movie posters, like classic
movies. James Dean, got James Dean in there.
Classic movie posters, classic Rolling Stone covers. You know, their bathrooms.
I wouldn't drink with those people. They could be giving out free shots. They could be pouring drinks out of a water hose, just free, all you could drink. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going in there.
If you went in a bathroom and it was just filled with Rolling Stone magazine covers.
I would leave immediately without washing my hands.
Larry David's in there. Howard Stern. A lot of bands. Bands from the 70s. And you're like,
it's Nashville, bro. Like, if you're going to put old people up, at least be like Johnny Cash. And
they got enough of that on Broadway.
George Jones.
They have plenty of that.
I'm just saying, if you're going to do it.
On Broadway.
I'm good.
What is your problem against rock and roll?
It's devil music. You should look it up.
You're like
look
the
it up.
Opposite
it's devil music. Look it up. Look it up.
It's not devil music.
You like the devil? Is that what you're saying here?
I have sympathy for him.
Let's go to the break. All right, we're up against it. I want to keep talking some more NFL, some more football. We'll do that. Headlines, winners and losers next hour. Let's go ahead. Let's squeeze in a Preds report. They had a busy weekend, I believe. Bryce, wait until Cam hits the music. Cam, you hit the music. Bryce, you tell us about the Preds. Go.
All right, so since the last Preds report, we have two games to talk about. Last Thursday, the Preds took on the Washington Capitals at home, winning a barn burner 6-5. The game-tying goal came 15 minutes. It was pretty high scoring. It was really really event filled. We had Nick Bonino scoring in the third period, and 30 seconds following that, Mattias Ekholm netted his second goal of the year, giving the Preds the win 6-5 against the Washington Capitals, who have been pretty solid this year. So Preds improved there. And then Saturday night, the Preds ended their homestand and went to LA to face the LA Kings. Going into the third period,
Cody's
Preds
team?
Were, yeah.
Who?
LA.
The LA
Kings.
Did you get this on your ESPN app?
The Kings. Did the Kings win?
I guess you didn't check your ESPN app.
Yeah, Kings. So Kings were up 4-1 going into the third period, and it seemed like they were just about to put the knife in them. And the Preds came out a minute into the third period, and they scored one goal. Following that, they scored two more goals, bringing the game to 4-3 with 10 minutes left in the third. With all the momentum on their side, it seemed like they could somehow sneak it back into this game. But the Preds ended up letting up three more unanswered goals.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
No. Yeah. Right, but the momentum.
Momentum.
All the Preds' the momentum resulted in the Kings scoring three goals. So
This guy's anti-momentum.
I mean, yes.
He believes in ghosts, but he doesn't believe in momentum.
Well, I mean, didn't you just prove it? You just said the Preds had all the momentum. They scored two goals.
Changed.
It's crazy how that always happens.
It changes.
It's crazy how it conveniently changes to fit whatever narrative you need it to be. If the Preds would have scored
yes,
and
it's
won,
it's momentum. It's magic.
Momentum would have kept up. Momentum would have been the reason why. But they gave up three goals, so it turns out momentum just changed. He was
Halloween's
like,
his favorite holiday. He believes in all these spooky spirits and witches and all this.
Uncle
Mo, momentum, magic momentum just can't exist.
Uncle Mo was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go change my address. I'm gonna go hang out with I guess it's not really the side of the bench because they're right next to each other, but with the Kings, I guess."
Yeah, so they were back into it. They scored two goals pretty quickly, make it 4-3, but they just fell apart at the end of the third period, letting up three goals in the last 10 minutes. So
split, 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1, and they're 3-2 on the year now, and they're heading to Vegas tomorrow to face off against the Vegas Golden Knights. So
are they still good? Are the Golden Knights
still
good?
The Golden Knights are still good somehow. Their first year, they went to the Stanley Cup finals, so...
Yeah, I got that. Come on, yeah. Bryce. I know that.
Just making sure.
I'm just asking, like, have they been able to sustain that success?
Yeah, last year they made it pretty far in the playoffs, and this year they're off. They're 3-2 as well. So, they're still a good team. So it'll be a good test for the Preds.
Where are the Preds at, standing wise or record wise? I guess
they're 3-2 right now.
3-2? Okay.
Yeah.
Probably just a lot of teams kind of log jammed right there.
Yeah, the beginning of the year is kind of hard to tell because you're dealing with new roster changes and
figuring out new lines.
Yeah, it's a long season.
Stuff.
It's like the NBA. So.
Yeah, like bad teams play good at the beginning of the year and then they kind of
top
off and realize, hey, we're actually not that good. We'll start losing. So, all right, good Preds report. These are much more detailed than they used to be. These Preds reports are much more detailed. We're going to learn about hockey just by sitting here listening. So. We get a little bit more in depth than just it went well.
I'll get Cody into it. So
yeah,
yeah.
It's Kings won. Congratulations to your Kings.
I like when it goes well.
Yeah, congratulations to your Kings. All right, hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. We still got winners and losers, and we'll do another NFL football segment as well. So stick with us. This is Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.